that young man was laying against his mama. And kind of his eyes were rolling up in his head. I thought, boy, wouldn't that be good again to do that, have mama next to you and lean up against her. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. If someone came up to you tonight and said, ask what I shall give thee, what would your answer be? One thing. One thing. What can I give you? King David is old and he has realized that his time is about up. And he realized he's not going to see very many more sundowns. And he's going to see his Lord and Savior. Hence he calls his son Solomon to him and literally pronounces him as king. And God had chosen Solomon to take over David's throne. And after he was sworn in as the new king of Israel, he goes to over to Gibeon to sacrifice. And oh my, what a sacrifice it was. And after the days of sacrifice ended, one night he has a dream, and the Almighty God of Israel appears unto him. And let's pick up that scripture there in chapter 3 of 1 Kings. Let's stand and read. God, give God the reading of your word. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in the dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed... Now, wait a minute. Now, remember, he's asleep, right? And it's a dream. Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according to all that he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on this throne, or excuse me, his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Can I just pull over here and part and just say something? I wish he'd continued there and said, and God, give me understanding, give me an understanding heart to rule myself. I think he missed it there. I think he really missed it there. And a lot of people, they ask God to give them understanding, but boy, you need to have understanding in your heart. This old heart of ours is devious. It's destructive. It has things that, when we talk about the heart, you all know I'm not just talking about the organ that beats the blood. It's our being. And Solomon said, Lord, give me an understanding heart to judge thy people. But I wish he would have said, and my heart, to judge my heart. And then he says, that I may discern between the good and the bad. Don't you think that would have been wonderful if he would have said that about himself? A lot of times people get in power and all of a sudden they think they get a carte blanche. And think that they're above everybody. That's not the way it is. In fact, when a person becomes a leader, it is his responsibility to live cavalier, live above, not above living above the people, but to live above in his actions, in his thought, in his mind, in his privileges that have been given to him. Because many times they will take advantage of those privileges. We see that today in our government, and it breaks my heart. We see that today in management. We see people taking advantage of things that never was given to them, but they take it anyway. That I may discern between the good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And look at what the Lord said. And his speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, thou hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Now here's the next thing. Verse 14, you ought to circle this in your Bible. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, that's the Bible, the Word of God, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass third day after I was delivered that the woman was delivered also. We were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the old woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And she said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and the son is dead. And the other said, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two. Give half to the one, half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child. And in no wise slay it, because the other said, Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. That's some pretty good stuff, amen? Isn't that amazing? God gave him that. A lot of times in your life, things will come up and you don't know which way to turn. God will give you wisdom. He said, if you want wisdom, you beg of me and I'll give it to you. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we look at this in a different way, in a different fashion. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. King David is old, and he realizes it's about time. He doesn't have too many sunsets to have. And he knows that God has chosen Solomon to be his son. And he swears him into the king as king of Israel. And once that happens, Solomon, now the new king, goes to Gibeon to sacrifice. After the day of sacrifice ended, he has a dream. The Almighty God appears to them. I was reading this, and I thought, well, I'll go into some commentaries, just read some stuff. I came up to Hugh Black. He was a great Bible scholar, and he says this: tell me your dreams, and I'll read the riddle of your life. Tell me your prayers, and I'll write the history of your soul. Tell me your asking, and I will tell you your getting. Tell me what you seek, and I will tell you what you see. I do not wish to know your possessions, only your wants. I do not care to know what you have, only what you have not, and the desire to have, not your attainments, but what you have not attained and follow after. That which comes to you in your victories by day and your dreams by night, the ideas you set before you, the things which you approve as excellent, that you seek after and have given your heart to, these are the measure of the man. In a truer sense, Shakespeare meant, we are such stuff as dream are made of. They have no price in the market, but they, and they alone, give worth and dignity to life. There are so many people today that want so much, but once they get it, what do they do with it? When we pray for, in the most part, our prayers to God is asking Him for what we want. This morning, I woke up before my alarm went off early this morning, and I just laid there, and I prayed. And I prayed, God, for you. I prayed that you would come to church today. I prayed that we'd have a great day. I prayed for Mr. Bell, who came today, Paul Bell. I'm glad he came. I prayed for Lori, that she would come. I prayed for some people that didn't show up this morning. I prayed for people that didn't show up tonight. It bothers me. It wrinkles me. It puts a burr under my saddle, you might say, that people wouldn't show up for church. And the pastors worked all week and prayed and worked to study the Word of God, and they don't show up and get fed. It bothers me. And it should bother you. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves in the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. May I ask you the plain question, do you think the Lord is approaching us today? Do you think the time is about it? Maybe that's when Jesus said to his disciples, when I come, shall he find faith? God came to him. The God of heaven asked him, what do you want? Solomon said, in fact, God said to Solomon, hey, what can I do for you? God said, ask me and I'll give it to you. Well, that's an incredible thing, amen. Well, God said to you, I'll give you anything you want. Just ask. Here, the sovereign God, the God of the universe, the omnipresent, the omniscient, the omnipotent God, the God that controls everything. He personally meets and speaks to the new king and says, son, you ask for anything you want and I will make it happen. I'll get it for you. That reminds me of a little boy that found a little bottle on the seashore and began to brush off the beautiful golden bottle. Out pops a big old genie. And the genie says, boy, you have 3 wishes and only 3. Use them wisely. The boy thought for a minute. He said, I want a brand new red Porsche. He's sitting in the front seat behind the steering wheel of a Porsche. Fire engine red. Wow. He says, what's your next wish? He thought for a minute. He says, I want $10 million U.S. dollars in the back of that car. $10 million U.S. dollars. Boy, that young boy got so excited he started to sing. He said, "Oh, I wish it was an Oscar Mayer wiener." Sorry, I got a little carried away there, but anyway. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that we just really do not know what we're really asking for. There are some things, I thank God that He did not answer my prayer. Now, when you get a little older like me, you understand what I'm talking about. There are some things in my life that I'm glad that God never answered. Here the Almighty God asking the youngest king that ever sat on the throne of Israel, He said, "What do you want of me?" What an awesome invitation. Better yet, what an awesome responsibility. Here's this young king, just beginning his reign. Can you imagine of all the things that went through his mind? He could have asked for great wealth, but he didn't. He could have asked for wealth for his people in the kingdom, but he didn't. He could have asked for long life, but he didn't. He could have asked for anything, anything that he ever wanted. But Solomon's dream was not a common one. While his bodily powers were locked up in sleep, the power of his soul was strengthened. He was able to unravel and perceive and comprehend and understand and well decipher the divine vision and make the right choice. One man said, "What your heart is full of, your mouth will speak." I can tell you what most of you guys are thinking about. I just sit with you for a little bit, talk. I sat down with Fern. I wish you'd pray for Fern. I sat down with Fern a couple times last week and just spent quite a bit of time with her. And she kept talking about, "I don't want to leave Heritage." She said, "There's another church. There's no church like it. Of all the churches we've ever attended, there's no church like Heritage Baptist Church. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave." And then she says, "I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone." What was her heart full of? She says, "I don't know what I'm going to do." I don't know how many times she said, if I had taken a note, I should have wrote down how many times she says, "I don't know what I'm going to do." I have a new phone, and my phone looks like an iPod. iPod. And I opened up my phone, and everything that goes on here, goes on here, goes on my computer. It just keeps going back and forth. And I opened up my sermon this morning about He careth for you, and I preached her my sermon. I said, "Fern, I preached this for myself. I was weeping when I was writing that message because I needed to remember that God careth for me." And so I preached a sermon, and tears trickle down her face. And I left her yesterday realizing that God does care for her. And God has new lives, new places for us. And He brings us down some roads that we've never been down that road before. Friday I had the great opportunity to get on my motorcycle. I haven't been on that old thing. It gets mad at me. Everyone walks by and says, "Hey, don't you like me anymore?" And it really got mad when you took it. I took the other one out. It's really mad about that. But anyway. And we put on about 200 miles. They weren't slow, but we got there and back. But we went to Highwoods and over to Fort Benton, had dinner there, and then we head over to Geraldine, and then came out Square Butte, and then over into Stamford, and come back. It was about 200 miles, 175. And I'd only been on that road once, coming out of Geraldine. And there are some pretty good curves and things in there. And Harold got ahead of me. And I was just putting behind there. Well, anyway, all of a sudden I looks up and I don't see him. Hammered out. So I started to go out. But I was careful because I didn't know that road. I didn't know the road very well. You know what? That's like our life. You know, you get white knuckling. Man said that when you stop getting white knuckles on your motorcycle, put the bike away. You're too used to it. Still got white knuckles, amen. And I thought, you know, that's the way in our life. A lot of things that you went through last week or the week before, you didn't know which way to turn. I know Brother Rick and I, we went out soul-winning on Saturday. We had a chance to talk, and he was telling me some things, and I was telling him some things, and we just never been down some of these roads before in our life and the patterns of life that we're taking. And sometimes it's very scary. Some of you young guys that, like my son, Corey, he worked 19 years for Irwin Pellin, and he quit his job. He's vice president, head of, I forget whatever he was head of, and just quit his job. And another company picked him up. And I talked to him today, and he said, Dad, I've never been so happy in my whole life. He said, they love me over there. They loved him other place, but he says, there's just a different vibe over here. He said, man, I really love it. And I thought, there's a lot of guys that you get into your job and you're so confident in what you're doing. You know, it takes you, 3 to 6 weeks at your job, and then finally you start feeling like you can just walk in and do some stuff and you know where you're at and what you have to do. But sometimes when you change a job, it's kind of, you get a little jumpy, amen? Y'all know what that feeling is? Remember when you change your job from Wells Fargo or U.S. Bank?
Wells to U.S. Bank.
It was different, wasn't it? Different coming in, different procedure, different, and you're kind of like, but how long it took you? About six weeks?
More.
Took you more?
Yeah.
You're a slow learner, but anyway. sorry, I couldn't help that. But, hey, banking business is pretty big. How many, you worked bank. Did you ever change banks? And how was that? It was interesting. Amen. You girls that substitute teach, well, you're coming into a new classroom, you're going like, whoa, you know, who are these animals, you know? But there's some things in our lives that happen to us. And we need someone to be around us and encourage us. And that's where God says, ask for wisdom. I will not turn you down. I will not turn it down. You know, God puts within us a way to be happy by assuring us that we shall have what we need and pray for. Solomon's choice when asleep, the power of reason was least active, showed that this kind of desire came from the grace of God. Having a humble sense and his own wants, his own desire, realizing of his own weakness, he pleads. He said, Lord, I am but a little child. The more wise and considerate men, the better acquainted they are of their own weakness. Solomon begs God, give me wisdom. April, you ever raised a little girl? Have you ever raised one before? Oh. Raised a couple boys. You would have turned me loose with a little girl in my house and them three boys? I know why God gave us three boys. Mrs. Pruitt over there, she's a pro at it. Now she's got a boy. Let me ask you this. Are boys different than little girls? That's why we come before God and we say, dear God, we need wisdom in this. God gives him wisdom such as no other prince has ever had, never been blessed with, or ever will be. But he also gave him riches and honor. If we make our sure of wisdom and grace, wisdom and grace will bring outward prosperity to us because he gives us wisdom how we ought to handle stuff and then we'll handle stuff a lot better. The way to get spiritual blessing is to wrestle with God and pray for them. The way of getting earthly blessings is to refer ourselves to God concerning them. Said God, you take care of this for me. Solomon had wisdom given to him because he asked for it. God gave him wisdom because he did not, God gave him other things because he even didn't ask for it. God's resources, by the way, are unlimited. Solomon could have had literally anything he requested. He thought within himself, God has been good to my father. God has allowed me the privilege of becoming the king of over these people. My father was a great king. I watched him rule. I watched him rule well. God has now placed me in the position to occupy what my father was occupying. I am young. I know very little in comparison for my daddy. My father possessed great knowledge. You look back in the life of David, and David gained knowledge by all the practical things that he had to go through. There's a lot of old-timers that see, people seem to think that they don't know what they're doing or what they're saying about. But they've been through some things that you ought to listen to them. I would pray that for Nathan Gross, they're looking at a new property for their building. They just can't get any more people into the church, and so they found another building. But the building is $400,000. The owner of the building said, make us an offer. It's worth over $800,000. I told Nathan, I said, offer him $350,000. And they're going to carry it. Maybe, he's going to ask him. But then he threw this stinger in. You know what a stinger is? When you're fishing. And you're not getting the bites. You're not getting those fish. But they're eating your bait. You put a stinger hook on it. You attach another hook down the side and hook it right in the back of the tail. I was down in Cape Canaveral in Florida there, and there's wonderful places to catch yellowtail tuna. And we had these little, oh, I can't remember what name they were, real shiny bait fish. And boy, throw them out there and whang! You bring them back, and those yellowtails, they have such sharp teeth, they'd bite that mackerel right by the gills, and all you had was this little head and your hook. I told my cousin Dwayne, I said, I'll fix that rascal. He said, what you doing? I said, I'm going to put a stinger hook on that. So I had the one hook in front, but then I ran a smaller hook in the back and just hooked it in the tail. Boom! Man, we caught the fish that day, man. Old Dwayne, he said, man, that's cool. It's a stinger hook. He threw a stinger hook at me. He says, preacher, the problem is that the land that it is being on is leased. And that's $2,500 a month. Hawaii, if you haven't figured it out, is not a cheap place to be at. And so pray for Nathan that God gives him great wisdom. And his people, they've been saving money. And they need a place. They're just about ready to bust it open. I said, well, how much property is it? He said, it's a third of an acre. We're on 8 acres here. A third of an acre. So pray for them over there. Amen. But God will give them wisdom. He said, I'm now the king with a great amount of people. And he called them God's chosen people. What shall I ask from God? What shall I request of God? I request wisdom and knowledge. And God gave what he asked for. The book of James says, James 1:5, and you ought to write this in your Bible, James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, it giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and shall be given to him. God is saying to us in this passage, if you realize your own knowledge is insignificant, if you realize that your own fleshly wisdom cannot do the job, if you humble yourself daily and hourly and by the minute and seek wisdom, I will give you wisdom for every situation, for every mission, everything that comes into your life. We need the wisdom of God daily as a father, as a mama, as a child, as a student, as a friend, as a ball player, as an instrumentalist, bus worker, soul winner. We need wisdom. We need wisdom when we knock on the door and what are we going to say to that guy? We need wisdom when we're down at the juvenile intake there and talking to those kids and maybe just one little statement to change that young boy's life or young girl's life. We need wisdom as we're at work and there's some people that may not be so happy about you being at work. And there's some people just like make your life very miserable. We must realize that we are insufficient in our own inabilities. Our lack of knowledge and our lack of wisdom, moment by moment, day by day, we must plead for wisdom that only God can give us. Hey, Eve chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. Cain chose the offering in the garden, of the garden vegetables, not the offering of lamb that God demanded of him. Sarah chose to use the concubine to get the gift that God had promised her, a son. She was unwilling to wait on God. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. It was a great place to raise livestock, but a lousy place to raise a family. Samson chose a worldly girlfriend. But Abel chose the offering of blood. Enoch chose to walk with God. Noah chose to be righteous. Abraham chose to follow God to Canaan land. Abraham chose to do the will of God to offer Isaac. God chose a wife for Isaac, Rebekah, being willing to go to a new country and was willing to be led by a servant of the Lord. She happily chose to go with a man of God to go get a husband. She said, I will go. The Lord's disciple chose to ask the Lord, teach us to pray. And Paul chose boldness instead of timidness. Who do you ask for tonight? What will you ask for? There's a God in heaven that wants to do everything he can for you. If you just ask. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. There's a lot of things that go on in our hearts and lives, and we don't know which way to turn, which way to go. But I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would be in us, that we would realize our great opportunities. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but boy, I'd certainly like to know that tonight. If you were to die today, no talking now. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Are you positive, 100% sure? If you're not, God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. Won't you invite him to come into your heart? Do you know you're a sinner? Yep. That's not hard to figure out. Do you realize because you sin, you owe a terrible price? Death of hell? Yep. Do you realize God loves you so much? He gave his only begotten son, and Jesus Christ loved you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. I do now. Well, then invite him to be your Savior. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and save me right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing here tonight, you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I just don't know if I'd die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd surely like to know that. Why don't you step out of that seat and come down, meet me at the front here and say, you know, preacher, today I would like to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Today I'd like to take care of that. Why don't you do that tonight? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Well, I thought about it and think about it. I need Christ.